In the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a Texans wild card game day here in the great city of Houston. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula, Figgy Fig on the ones and twos, and you on the text line 713-572-4610 or on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer live streams, YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, Twitch chat, 610 Houston.
Jump in the chats, man.
100%. Yeah, man.
It's game day.
We're calling it a virtual tailgate in there where folks are having fun. And also, I'm seeing that our guy Ray on the YouTube page, I don't know where you were flying to, but they said, man, I missed my flight, and now I'm going to be flying during the majority of the game, if not all of it. That stinks.
Oh,
that
is, man.
That is rough. You pay for the internet, right? In-flight internet so I can watch it, right? It's got to. You got to.
Do you eat?
You can't land and then just see what happened during the game.
Was he going to the game? Or is he just flying somewhere?
Is that what he said? I don't know if he said that he was going to the game. I just know that he's on a flight.
That would be different.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be different if he's just going on a trip or a business trip or whatever. But if he's going to the game, I say you don't go.
Yeah, I say
screw it, go home.
Yeah, flying to Virginia for work. So they're flying for work.
Okay, well, then internet. That's an easy
thing. But you got to buy the internet.
You better hope that flight got Wi-Fi.
And just hope that the internet's actually
I've been on some flights where it's like, sorry, the Wi-Fi ain't working on this one. I'm like,
can you imagine your team is playing?
More times than you wish.
Your team is playing in the playoffs. Yeah. It happens so rarely in the course of a 365-day year. There's only a few days where that can happen, and you just happen to be on a flight during it.
Yeah.
That is sick. That would hurt me. I would be so sad.
It was a couple times where I had an event that I had to work that was scheduled months and months in advance.
Yeah.
And then just so happened, it was a game going on that day where I'm like, dang, I can't get out of it.
You got to figure out a way, man.
Also, appreciation to Intrepid reporter Brandon Scott, who is also in the virtual tailgate today, making note of the fact that the weird relationship between Ben Johnson, the head coach of the Bears, and Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers. Matt LaFleur said they don't even really know each other. He doesn't know where this came from. Imagine. You just sitting here, mind your business. Someone walks up and they're like, hey, man, I bleeping hate you. And you're just like, hey, what?
I'm just sitting here.
That happens more than what you think, man.
Yeah, but usually.
I can't stand that guy.
But how often do they make it your problem, though?
You know what I mean? I call BS on that. That's a sell. So? That's a sell.
Really?
Yeah. Because I don't even know. Because he reacted badly the first time, too.
It got to be something where he probably think LaFleur is probably a douche. Or something. just behind the scenes.
Just I hate the way you operate.
Yeah, you know how you shake somebody's hands? Yeah. You be like, man, I don't like this.
It's also
like
Kendrick Lamar. I hate the way that you walk. I hate the way you dress.
Yeah.
I hate the way that you walk. All that.
I don't know anything about him, but I hate him.
I don't even like how you coach.
The way you talk annoys me. I hate you.
Yes.
Oh, that is hilarious. All right, let's turn the page now with no correlation to the previous conversation to Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. He is going to be a focus point in this game and how it goes. On Friday, he was talking, and I thought it was very interesting. In fact, mentioning B. Scott asked this question, how does he evaluate his play calling and process of determining what's good or bad? Because it's going to be, I would hope that that's huge. Been the process that's happened this week. Here's Nick Caley talking about it.
Yeah, the success or lack thereof of it, you know, what were any of the issues? Was it a schematic issue? Was it, you know, in terms of how I assessed the plays that we're doing, you know, was it a schematic issue? Was I putting a guy in position to have success? Should I have asked him to do something? I mean, I look at all those things. Was it just lack of technique and fundamentals where maybe we got beat? The play might not be, you know, may not be the play, but we can go back to it and we have confidence in it. We just got to go out and hit reset. I mean, there's a variety of things, you know, that we go through, and I try to do that every single week. I don't know, Landry, if you asked me that the other week. Somebody did. But I'm always trying to do that to improve myself and to learn from my mistakes along the way, too. So I think that's a big part of it. We're all growing, and we're growing together. We're first-year offense. I think we've made a lot of strides in certain areas, and certainly I think we have a lot of improvement out in front of us, too. But I'm proud of how our guys have competed and you know, just their work ethic, and they're all in, you know, and I'm proud of that.
I like this answer, and I feel there's a lot to it because we've seen the development. We've seen, you know, the progress. The one thing it doesn't quite answer, though, is in game, because what he's talking about is Monday through Saturday. And so I think that's going to be the ultimate test tonight. You know, how you make those adjustments. They're going to show some things that you're not accustomed to, et cetera. So I think the in game stuff might be big, too.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because there has been incremental improvement, which it sounds like is what he's speaking of there. It's just they're getting better, but there's still a lot to go. How far is that increment to this point? And then also, what's a great point is now you're talking about these one game samples. It's not about what you can do over the course of the season. Is what did you bring to this particular game and giving you an opportunity to earn the next game. And so, yeah, how
when
far
the bullets are flying,
right? And yeah, you can't afford one of the things that we've talked mm-hmm. about. You can't afford these large lulls offensively. What has been done to get them to that place? And right. actually, even pursuant to that, Nick Haley was also asked what gives him confidence that the offense will be able to make sure to score touchdowns rather than mm-hmm. leaning on the leg of Kaimi Fairbairn.
Yeah.
I mean, just showing the improvement we've had from the start of the year to the end of the year, just trying to continue to get better. You know, execution in practice. I feel like the execution's continued to improve throughout the year, and I'd say in the last, call it third, half of the year, I feel like we made strides in the red zone. You know, is it everything we want it to be? No. I mean, it's not, you know. But there's been improvement. There's been definite improvement. We just got to, you know, we got to continue to move the needle that direction.
All right, so I'm gonna channel.
You don't like. You didn't seem to like that answer quite as much as the first one.
I'm gonna channel what a lot of people say these days. In fact, you do it occasionally. You talked about improvement in the red zone. Has there?
Is it?
Has there been?
If it is, it's minuscule.
Yeah,
it's minuscule, and that might be the biggest one. Right, is getting into the red zone and actually punching it in.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, it's most important, obviously, this time of year as well, but. That's going to matter a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
What are the answers that you can see or that you think might be available to them red zone wise?
Man, this is one. I think it's just as simple as the play calling, the red zone prep during the week, what I just mentioned, the in-game adjustments you might be able to make, whether it's an injury on the defensive team, whether it's something that, you know, one of your players has been able to exploit in that particular game. I don't have a lot of confidence in the red zone. That's not breaking news for anyone that's a Texans fan. And when he says there's been incremental improvement, I haven't looked at the trends, the latest numbers. All I know is that overall, they still rank very, very, was it 29th in red zone efficiency?
It's not much higher than that if it isn't 29th.
29 is not incremental improvement.
No, it's not. And I look at some of the players that you would be trying to, you know, come up against in the red zone, and Joey Porter Jr. is kind of nice, mm-hmm. right? I do wonder how you go about, like, if you wanted to go 50-50 type balls in those instances. Do you have an advantage there? We know that defensive line is rough, so I don't know how viable it will be to try and line it up and move them as they have wanted to try and do at times. It's going to take real ingenuity for them to get in the red zone. Like, I don't think this is going to simply be, well, everybody muscle up, and this time we'll push it in. I think it's going to take real ingenuity. This is going to be interesting to see if he has brought that level of ingenuity, or if they found a different, you know, level of answer in the playoffs. And maybe the hope that you can maybe hold on to, it would be grasping at straws, I think, when it comes to their red zone capabilities, is maybe they have had something in the tuck that they are ready to unveil.
It's a good time
to utilize. It just feels like it would have always been a good time in the regular season to find more red zones. There was a lot of opportunities to maybe find your red zone voice, so to say. But
here's the other thing, real quick. I hope I'm wrong on this, and I hope they have success if they do this. But if they just try to, you know, ram it down the middle of their throw, up the middle of their defense, I don't have any confidence in that. Not with Cam Hayward, not with their interior defensive line. You're right. You know, there has to be something they've had sort of in their back pocket, something that maybe can be creative. Because if they just try to just either sneak the ball or turn and run the ball up the middle, I don't have a lot of confidence.
Yeah. Speaking of Pittsburgh, this was Kaylee on Pittsburgh's defense and the similarities to defenses that they played early on in the season.
Yeah, well, we're always trying to learn. And I know a couple weeks back, you know, I was asked about some of the pressures. We're always trying to work on issues that come up, correcting things, whether it's problem pressures, even things that come up throughout the league that we see that are trends and stuff. We're always trying to get ahead of it. So it's a matter of learning and learning from our mistakes and being able to grow from that, and then being able to assess what each team's doing and put a good protection plan together. And this is going to be a tremendous challenge. You look at the edges. I mean, I think Hayward's playing as good a football as I can ever remember him playing. So they are an outstanding defense, and their front gets them going. So we got to be at our best. Be a great challenge, and, you know, got to go out there and play.
Where do you feel most confident? Not just red zone, but in crucial situations, third downs, fourth downs, with this offense against that Steelers defense?
If you can protect, I feel good about your opportunities.
That's where I was going. That's why I asked, because the protection of the line has been better. We know that.
They have been better. Now, one thing that the Steelers will do is they will stunt. They'll have some of these, you know, they'll have stunts on the front end, or they'll have some simulated pressures. Now, they don't do it to the point where you look at them and you go, that is one of the most stuntingest or most twistingest
active,
defenses in the league. But they do all of it a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. They dabble in all of those things. And this will be a very interesting test because this offensive line has gotten better in that regard. But to what degree, especially when you raise the level of caliber of players, we talk about Highsmith, you talk about TJ Watt, you talk about Cam Hayward, those caliber of players doing those things, are they going to be able to hold up? But this is where all the praise that has been heaped on Jake Andrews in the middle for communication, this is where I'm going to really need to see it put rubber to road. Mm-hmm. Are they all on their P's and Q's? Are your running backs continually doing the good job of stepping up in pass protection? And then is CJ Stroud keeping his eyes downfield and with confidence knowing where to go with the football? I think that that's where it's going to be interesting, having those protection answers. And thankfully, I think one of those, tape Tuesdays that the drive has done, you've heard Clint Sterner talk about, it seems like they're finding some more of those answers being put into their protection. So if those things come together, I like what they get on the backside of that with your wide receivers versus what they have going in their secondary.
Yeah.
But you got to keep it clean up front. So that'll be the name of the game offensively, at least in my estimation, for this game. That'll kick off 7:15, and you'll hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including the Rockets on a little bit of a skid and the Houston Cougars basketball team doing nothing of the sort. We'll talk about it all next.